Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Thank you, everybody, for being here with us. We have updates for you in real time here about the fall of Kabul to the Taliban, the fall of all of Afghanistan to the Talibs. And we've got our friend Sean Parnell joining us now. Sean is a former U.S. Army Airborne Ranger and New York Times bestselling author. He served in the 10th Mountain Division for 6 years, retired as a captain, received 2 Bronze Stars, one for Valor and the Purple Heart. He's a good friend of mine. Sean, thanks for being with us.
Hey, how's it going, Buck? Clay, thanks for having me.
So, Sean, tell us, man, what are your top line thoughts?
Buck, I'm crushed. I'm devastated. 20 years in Afghanistan, so much blood spilled on that soil. You know, actually, as you know, served there. I was wounded there. Watched my men do amazing things there. You know, gave the Afghans a real shot at freedom, only to have it squandered with a disastrous exit strategy from Joe Biden. What strikes me the most, I think what concerns me the most, is that he seems wholly unengaged. I mean, just put it simply, right? Here's the situation in Afghanistan right now. Afghanistan has fallen. There are still thousands of Americans trapped behind enemy lines in Kabul. And the president of the United States, as of this moment, is still missing in action. I mean, he's addressing the nation at 3:45, but it's taken him 6 days to even communicate anything about this crisis to the American people. My God, what a slap in the face to everybody that served in Afghanistan, every family member that knows someone who served in Afghanistan, or God forbid, family members who lost someone there. It's just an absolute tragedy. One strategic blunder after the next, Buck. And it's hard to wrap my mind around or just put words to how terrible the situation is.
Sean, thanks for coming on. What happens now? We have now the idea of a completely run country by the Taliban. We're out. Is this a danger zone now for Al-Qaeda or a successor terrorist organization to once again rise and begin to plot against American and Western interests?
Well, the answer to that question is yes, but I will say that we're not out yet. And one of the things that we need to focus on, I mean, what we need to be singularly focused on, is how do we get American citizens out of Afghanistan safely along with our allies? And I'll tell you this, ceding Bagram Air Base is one of the greatest strategic blunders in the last century here for America. That is one of the few air bases in Afghanistan where you can secure and evacuate people. One of the few landing strips, you can actually land a commercial airliner. There are only a couple of others. The Taliban control all of them. And so let's get our people out there. Let's figure out a way to vet refugees and bring them back here safely and engage our allies so that they can maybe take up this cause and help us. But it's almost too late for anything else in Afghanistan. And it just absolutely disgusts me that in Joe Biden's first statement, he found a way to blame President Trump. And as someone who's commanded soldiers and led soldiers in combat, commanders are responsible for everything that happens or fails to happen under their command. Joe Biden is the commander in chief. Joe Biden owns this tragedy in Afghanistan, and he's getting hit from both sides of the aisle on it as well. So it's just heartbreaking to me to see what's happening to American citizens in Afghanistan and our allies who fought so hard to keep that country safe.
We're speaking to Sean Parnell. He's a former Army Airborne Ranger and New York Times bestselling author of Outlaw Platoon. Sean, it's interesting because so many veterans that I speak to feel like the decision to leave, because remember, Trump did put us on a pathway to leaving. There was the negotiation with the Taliban, and now the decision has been made and the execution of that by Joe Biden. But I've spoken to many veterans who say they wanted us to leave, but they didn't want it to be done in this way. And I wanted to pose that to you, because I think that there, some people say, well, you can't criticize what's going on right now with the people running onto the tarmac at Kabul Airport, and not be in favor of the continued presence, the, you know, the so-called forever war. How do you separate those two issues of ending the war, but ending it the right way?
Oh, I'm so glad that you brought that up because it's such an important point. We spent 20 years in Afghanistan. I just turned 40 in July. We spent over half of my adult life in that country. It was definitely time to come home. And as you mentioned, you talked to 9 out of 10 veterans will tell you, yeah, it was time to come home, but just not like this. And there are so many differences, vast differences between the Biden plan and the Trump withdrawal plan. Trump was engaged with regional leaders. Joe Biden hasn't even talked to the prime minister of Pakistan since 7 months of being in office. Joe Biden moved the withdrawal date from May back to September 11th for strictly political reasons. That's important because it gave the Taliban the time, the space to consolidate and organize a counteroffensive. And I think the most important part of all is that President Trump's plan was a conditions-based withdrawal, right? Where he was talking with leaders of the Afghan National Army and the Afghan command. Certain battlefield conditions needed to be met before moving on to the next phase. Joe Biden just cut sling load and ran on that country and then went on vacation and then failed to address the nation for 6 days. It's just, it's a borderline unforgivable tragedy that's unfolding in Afghanistan, all laid right at Joe Biden's feet.
Sean, as bad as this foreign policy disaster is, and I think there's a strong argument it's the worst foreign policy disaster in America in two generations, how does this impact Joe Biden's domestic legacy and domestic goals, whether it's his budget, whether it's trying to respond to COVID? When your experts are this wrong about what happened in Afghanistan, isn't his overall legitimacy as a leader undermined in a massive way across everything he's attempting, foreign and domestic?
Absolutely. 100%. I mean, I think a lot of that is going to depend on how he handles this speech at 3:45, right? If he blames President Trump, even spends 1 millisecond of that speech blaming President Trump, then I believe that he will, as commander in chief, have lost the moral authority to lead in this country. In times of crisis, I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican, leaders lead. They don't pass the buck, and they do everything that they can to bring this country together so that we can galvanize under one mission and get the mission done. And Joe Biden, if he blames President Trump at all, it's going to be very, very hard for him to lead this country thereafter.
When you look for, you talked about how much time you've spent on the ground in Afghanistan, Sean. We're taking calls from vets, and we're going to continue to take calls throughout this program to allow them to have their voices heard, given the sacrifices that they made overseas. You said, and we played a clip from you when we're coming back, blame the suits, not the boots, for the Afghanistan failure. How is this going to be remembered historically for people out there who may not have followed this over the past 20 years? Categorize this for us from a military history perspective. What lessons have we learned, and what is the lasting legacy?
Well, I'll say this. When this is such a lesson that we can learn from Afghanistan is that when leaders in this country, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, when they send our men and women into harm's way, we have an absolute moral obligation in this country to win. Because if we don't, then you're going to have an entire generation of Americans wondering what the heck they served for in the first place. And in order to win, you have to have a clear-cut mission. You have to define what victory looks like, and you have to have end-state operations planned out. I think we need to get back to declaring war in this country. We haven't declared war since World War II. Involve Congress more. Get everything down on paper, because when war is not declared and we're not involving members of Congress, wars tend to go on forever. The mission constantly evolves, and that's how we end up in a situation like we're in Afghanistan right now, where we've been there for 20 years, and we're wondering what the heck we have to show for it.
Hey, Sean, it's Buck. I just, before we let you go, I wanted you to take the chance here, because you're speaking to people, as you know, across the country in all 50 states, and a lot of them are your brothers and sisters who wore the uniform and fought and bled for this country. Many of them lost friends and loved ones in the fight overseas, whether in Iraq or Afghanistan or in any of our GWAT hotspots. What do you want to say to those, particularly those who served in Afghanistan on this occasion, those who you know, carried arms in the name of their nation over there? What do you want to say to them?
Yeah, I want to tell you all that you served Afghanistan. You gave the people of that country a shot to be free. You built schools for children. You helped little girls learn how to read. You built wells in villages and brought humanitarian assistance to people. You defeated the enemies of America at every turn. You were part of the greatest benevolent superpower the world has ever known. At your core, you're a protector. Your service was worth it. You changed lives on the battlefield in Afghanistan. You made this country safer. You removed some of the worst terrorists the world has ever known. You accomplished every military mission set before you. The suits need to be blamed for this, not the boots, but we're proud of your service. America is proud of you. You should be proud, too.
Sean Parnell from the retired United States Army. And Sean, my friend, we appreciate you joining us here again, and we'll have you back soon to talk about this as it evolves.
All right. Thanks, Buck and Clay. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Coming up here, Clay and I want to get back into some of the policy implications and just what this means for the Biden regime, as I like to call it, because what an absolute disaster. And it goes along with a bunch of other disasters right now. You're starting to think, hold on a second. What does this Biden White House do well? Where's the good decision making? Where's the upside for America of having this guy as commander in chief, as the chief executive of the United States government? I think those are things we need to address here. We also want to get some more veteran voices here on the air because we know that it's a tough day for not just Americans, not just America's image, but also, I mean, for those who spent months, in some of your cases listening to this, I know years of your life trying to build a better Afghanistan for the people over there. This is going to have real emotional and psychological impact. So we'll come back and hear from some veterans here. 800-282-2882. And in the meantime, look, I'm as you know, I got three dogs in the family. We've got a Frenchie, we've got a Pomeranian, and we've got a Cavapoo. And they all love rough greens. And in fact, Michael from Massachusetts wrote in. He says, I have two labs. So he's got a couple dogs. One's 11 and has had ear and skin issues his whole life. After 1 week on rough greens, his ears are clearing up. He's not chewing his feet. And I haven't put any medicine in his ears. My 4-year-old lab loves the stuff. He can't wait to eat now. See, rough greens is a supplement that we're now adding into our family dog's food. And it's just helping with energy and gut health, because especially the Frenchie can have a real problem with gut health stuff, because Rough Greens brings healthy supplements right into your dog's food. You just add it in. It's got live vitamins, probiotics, enzymes, omega oils, and antioxidants. Rough Greens will make your dog's food, whatever it is, better. The folks at Rough Greens are so confident your dog is going to love it. They've got a special deal for you, our listeners. Just go to roughgreens.com. That's R-U-F-F, roughgreens.com/Clay and Buck. And they'll give you the first bag free. You heard me right, free. All you pay is shipping. That's roughgreens.com/Clay and Buck. roughgreens.com/Clay and Buck.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton. Monumental day in American foreign policy, not in a positive way, but we have been and will be breaking down everything surrounding the Taliban taking over Kabul and the airport evacuation that is currently ongoing. President of the United States, Joe Biden, scheduled to speak at 3:45 after effectively 6 days of silence. He is apparently landed back in D.C. from Camp David, and that address will be happening at 3:45. Now, there's lots of serious things going on, and we're going to take a bunch of your calls. And by the way, 800-282-2882, we only want to hear right now from veterans in Afghanistan about your reaction as you have been watching the last several days of news. But CNN has a reporter on the ground, and we'll play this audio for you. Now, to her credit, she is reporting on the ground surrounded by the Taliban, but this has a mostly peaceful protest feel to it. Here is what CNN was reporting earlier today.
They're just chanting death to America, but they seem friendly at the same time. It's utterly bizarre.
Oh, death to America and also friendly at the same time. Sounds like just the people you'd like to have over for Thanksgiving.
I mean, I guess I'm glad that she at least admits that's a bizarre dichotomy she is setting up there for us. And that's a reporter for CNN who's still on the ground in Kabul as all this is unfolding. You know, Clay, I do think we've also seen really one of the first times here that the usual pro-Biden partisans in the media.
That's a good point.
They tried a few things in the beginning. You know, they tried all the Trump thing, and everyone's looking at them like, this is a serious issue, and you are being unserious with your talking points.
Yes.
Bull crap. Like, the usual spin doesn't work when you have video of the actual airport and people running out onto the tarmac desperately fleeing for their lives. I mean, they can't spin this is what I'm saying. This is the first they've ignored the border. They can't really spin it, but they've tried. They've been able to ignore it. You can't ignore what's happening right now in this country.
That's a good point. After 7 months of defending anything basically that Joe Biden would do, and it's also not only all of the surrogates that would usually be out there defending Joe Biden, Buck, I think it's also they're not going to defend Biden when the White House goes silent, when everybody's on vacation. There's a lot of times where you have to be your own advocate, and that's what Biden's going to try to do at 3:45. We'll see if he's capable of it. I have severe reservations about that. But that's a really good point that basically they have abandoned the field in the same way that we are abandoning Afghanistan. There's nobody really trying to defend the Biden administration at all right now.
It's indefensible.
That's the
truly
answer.
Indefensible what's happened here. And I mean, if you think the corporate media has learned any lessons about foisting Biden on us, despite all the common sense and history that you could bring to bear to show that he's an incompetent mediocrity, I got to tell you, think again. They will just give it a number of days, Clay, and CNN, the top story will be something about the January 6th insurrection and Fauci demanding masks. I mean, they've got to cover this now because it's the biggest story in the world by far. But there's no lessons learned from this. Anything is better in their mind, in the corporate Democrat media's mind, anything, including the abject collapse of Afghanistan, this calamity, better than having Trump as president in their minds. That's how deranged they are with Trump derangement syndrome.
I got a friend who worked in the Trump White House texted me this morning. He said, I'm reading directly from what he said, I couldn't help but imagine if we were still in the White House, my phone would probably have been ringing nonstop starting Saturday and Sunday. My inbox would be full of statements from woke companies and trade associations condemning our decision and administration while Afghan women and children are left to suffer. Where are those companies now? They're silent. I guess it's okay when it's Afghanistan human rights abuses, but my God, imagine what happens if Trump is still in office. It's well said. And you know what also is well said? Right now, you need to be taking advantage of your opportunity to get the lowest mortgage rates that have ever existed in most of our lives. We're talking about rates so low that you could save $1,000 a month. That's $12,000 a year. You don't know when mortgage rates are going to start to rise again, which is why you need to lock in the best rates imaginable right now for your family. 800. Call this number right now. 800-777-8109. Listen to me closely. Save $12,000 a year. 800-777-8109. AmericanFinancing.net. American Financing MLS 182334. NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Just to give you a quick look ahead, we're going to have our buddy Matt Walsh from the Daily Wire at the top of the next hour. So that'll be 2:05 Eastern Time. Joining us here to talk about, wait, is that right? Yes, that is right.
You're crossed up. You know, the new time zone.
Look
for
at
you.
Me in the Nashville here with Mr. Clay.
We got to be doing the central time zone, man. We're just barely in the line here. It changes everything.
It does get confusing here in Nashville, but Clay and I are here in the free state of Tennessee when it comes to masks and lockdowns, much better than where I was in New York City. We'll talk to Matt Walsh about, he also gave a speech in front of a school board and just the authoritarian COVID madness. Vaccine passports coming into effect in some places this week in New York City.
And you went and got your vaccine.
I got the shot, everybody.
So you could go to your dad, your brother's wedding.
So it was get the shot or miss my brother's wedding. So that's the kind of choice that people are being faced with now. Get the shot or you lose your job. Get the shot or you miss your brother, your sister's wedding, your kid's wedding or whatever. Right. So that's where we are now in this madness. I am adamantly opposed to these mandates. And I'm not going to give up this fight. We'll talk to Matt Walsh more about that. We did say we were going to bring on, at BuckSexton.com, I wrote, "This catastrophe in Kabul is Biden's fault," editorial there. Go check that out, too, because it is Biden's fault. And they're going to try to convince you it's not. And I want to make sure that we all understand why. But we said we'd hear from veterans, and we should definitely do that. We've got lines lit across the board, 800-282-2882. Jordan in Houston, Texas. Jordan, welcome.
Hi, Clay and Buck. I have to apologize if I get a little emotional talking today. I didn't realize I was going to feel so much emotion, but 14 years ago, I was severely wounded by a suicide bomber in Afghanistan, and I watched my best friend, Sergeant First Class Jason Fetty, jump on him. He survived the suicide bombing, and he saved my life and the lives of countless others, and I ended up naming my son Jason after him, and I'm just feeling angry and sad. I did two tours of Iraq and one to Afghanistan, and I'm let down by our government, and I'm let down by our military leaders. Everyone wants to blame the president. I think there's definitely blame to go there, but just last month, our leaders were telling us that, you know, everything was going to be okay, and the army could stand up, and they collapsed, and it's sad, and it's frustrating, and
Well, Jordan, let us just say here, first of all, thank you for being a hero and being a warrior for this country. And God bless you for calling in and sharing your thoughts with everybody across the country. You got a lot of brothers and sisters in uniform right now who are listening to you, whose hearts are going out to you. I can assure you of that. What do you think should have happened here, Jordan? If things had gone the way that you, what do you feel like the Biden administration should have done? What does an honorable exit look like in your mind?
Well, it's just such a loaded question. I think there's so much responsibility on the other administrations too, but I definitely think we should have done a better job of securing. I think we shouldn't have given up Bath. I think Bagram Airfield, I think we should have kept that secure. And I definitely think we should have kept a small contingent to try to get everyone out. But in reality, I think I think a couple of folks have alluded to this. We accomplished everything we needed to in the first few years, and then we're still there for 20 years slugging it out. And it's just really, really sad. Like, I'm just feeling so much emotion. I got a message from my interpreter last night. He made it out a few years ago with his wife and kids, but now his family is in danger of being found by the Taliban. And it's a crushing blow.
Thank you for the service, Jordan. And I think you spoke and speak for a lot of different veterans out there. We're trying to let you guys weigh in. Leslie in San Antonio, also vet. We only want veterans of Afghanistan to call in today to react to what's going on. 1-800-282-2882. Your thoughts, Leslie.
Hi, Buck. Hi, Clay. Thank you for taking over for Rush. I really appreciate your being there. And I also wanted to thank Jordan for being a very brave hero. I am not a hero. I was just a somebody. I was a Navy vet, but I had the pleasure of serving in both Iraq and Afghanistan. But my perspective is a little bit more unique. I was a child in Iran, part of my family, and I got to see the Middle East before it descended into terrorism. And so what I wanted to say today, basically, is that I saw the Middle East at peace. It wasn't perfect, but my entire family was in Iran because it was safe for families, for people from all over the world. When Carter, a Democrat, abandoned Iran and the Shah, it removed the linchpin to peace in the entire Middle East. And now Biden has also abandoned Afghanistan, and it's descended into a fury of flames that I'm afraid will blow back onto us and the rest of the world.
In Afghanistan, I think there's a lot of truth to that, Leslie.
And let me share a particular experience I had at Camp Leatherneck. We opened a cultural center for the Afghan people. We had a wonderful party that included our Marine leadership, as well as the Afghan leadership and civilians. I spoke to many of our fellow Afghans, the interpreters that we're talking about today, both men and women, by the way, and many have been alive during the time of the Shah in Afghanistan. They were boys and girls who went to school. There were men and women who were able to go to college and become doctors and professionals. Part of this opening ceremony to the cultural center included a huge wall of photos of Afghanistan in the 60s, pre-Taliban. And there was a mutual respect between our military leadership and the Afghan leadership. Yeah, when I was in Leatherneck, we had green-on-green aggression. And it was far from perfect, but we were actually making headway, I felt. And so, yes, it was a long-term commitment. And unfortunately, I think today we're going to be feeling the after effects of the abandonment that Biden has put Afghanistan and the rest of the world into.
Leslie, thank you for your service and for your unique perspective on all this. We appreciate you calling in. Let's get Grant in Maine. Grant, welcome to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, so, you know, obviously this is horrible. It's a horrible epic failure and embarrassment on this administration. But I kind of am looking at something different. I'm looking at the fact that the media now all of a sudden is warning everybody about the possibility of terror attacks on American soil. Watch out for the terror attacks. And to me, it seems like we're being set up. It's like, it seems like they wanted this to go this way. They wanted the failure because they want to keep the war on terror going. Because if it went smoothly, there'd be no more war on terror. And then what would they have to do? But now it seems like they're just pumping it back up. So are we facing another 20 years of war on terror and taking it from a different angle? I guess that's my concern.
Well, Grant, I appreciate it. I think, unfortunately, in terms of authoritarianism, they're getting plenty of mileage out of the war on COVID right now, as in the lockdowns and the mandates for vaccines and all the rest of it. But you could be right that there'll be a crackdown on civil liberties at some point in the future, or a crackdown on liberties in general, if in fact Afghanistan does turn back into a terror platform and all of a sudden we're back in that GWAT posture. But that's getting a few steps ahead, I think, of where we are today. But thank you for calling in. Clay, what do you think?
Let's get a couple more calls here. I mean, it is emotional, I know, for so many veterans of Afghanistan to be watching 20 years of American effort as it is falling apart in this way. And Aaron in Syracuse, New York, three tours in Afghanistan for you, Aaron. What are your reactions as you see all of this unspooling?
Well, hey, gentlemen, it's great to talk to you. One of the things that, you know, I experienced when I was over there was we actually, a veteran of the Marine Corps, we actually ran the Afghan National Security Force Training Academy and like an advisement academy. And there was a little bit of mismanagement as far as, you know, how we had tried to essentially inflict a Western ideology into more or less a tribal mentality. You know, some of the things we could have done better, you know, we had the, you know, the Afghan National Police, the Afghan National Border Patrol, which were, you know, weak to begin with and very heavily propped up by NATO. But because they came from a tribal system, you know, they would look at the colors of their uniforms and they would start to feud. And we never really dealt with that, like the internal feuding of the organizations, as we developed our training structure going on, you know, because we'd been running essentially on like the previous caller on Camp Leatherneck, we'd been running that academy for the better part of a decade, and a lot of the smaller and simpler things that we could have done to improve the Afghan forces so that we wouldn't be in this position right now. I think we really failed to do, and I think a lot of that was because it was so heavy-handed, you know, by NATO as a whole, and they didn't give the Marine leadership and the Army leadership and the Navy leadership the ability to actually sit down and correct the deficiencies that they saw. In reality, what they did was it was mandated, based off of NATO. And I think that's part of what's led us to where we are today, where we now have security forces that, you know, essentially can't stand on their own two feet. one of the
Thank you for your call, Aaron. We got to go to a break right here. Again, we're trying to get as many of you in as we possibly can. We want to let you know if you're with AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, you're paying too much for your cell service. Pure Talk, exact same network, exact same towers, but for a heck of a lot less. In fact, you could save the average family over $800 a year. My 13-year-old, about to be 14, starting eighth grade, he has his own brand new phone. Through Pure Talk, he gets unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data for just $30 a month. And if you go over, they don't charge you for it. How do you get it, Buck?
It's so easy to switch, and you can keep your phone and your number, or you can save on a brand new iPhone or Android. We're customers, so you should become customers too. Listen to this offer. Unlimited talk, text, 6 gigs of data, just $30 a month. From your cell phone, dial #250 and say Pure Talk, and you'll save 50% off your first month. That's #250, say Pure Talk. You'll have the option to receive a one-time auto-dialed text message from Pure Talk.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We are rolling through the Monday edition of the program, discussing all of the wildness, watching, as many of you are, the story unfold on television of Afghanistan. Joe Biden scheduled to talk at 3:45 Eastern, and we're about to be joined by Matt Walsh here in studio, which should be a good discussion because he has been also helping to fight this ridiculous mask mandate spreading across the entire country for kids in schools. But Buck, I'm curious for this 3:45 talk, which I'm sure we're going to be discussing a great deal tomorrow. Do you think Biden is primarily going to focus on blaming Trump, or do you think he's going to try to just put this behind him? What's your expectation? Because I have my thoughts, too, of what this address in, what, a couple of hours from now is going to sound like.
I think he's going to try to take a sweeping view of history, Grandpa Joe fireside chat approach to this. So essentially it'll be, this has been 20 years. There's been a lot of mistakes made. There's been a lot of challenge here. Our men and women in uniform served, you know, you'll hear about
honorably.
You could expect the commander in chief to say certain things. And then I think he's going to say this was what we inherited from the Trump administration as a timeline. We extended it. This was not going to be easy, but we believe it's, you know, the right move. I mean, he's got to project some belief in competency here, because otherwise people are going to start saying, I mean, and when I say people, obviously you and I are already there, but there'll be folks who change their minds about this regime of Biden
happened.
Based on this. Yeah, that's what they're trying to avoid here. And I think they're realizing now, you get on the list, Clay, the border, the economy, inflation, crime in major U.S. cities, and now Afghanistan. What is the major and of course the COVID surge too, and COVID
That's
authoritarianism
right.
and forever COVID. What are they doing well?
He's the opposite of everything he touches turns to gold. We can't say exactly what the opposite of gold would be, but you can think about what it might be. Everything Biden touches turns to crap effectively. And I think that's the fear now. And by the way, the silence for so many days, and the idea of people being out to vacation. I just want to continue to hammer this home. If either you or I had been on vacation, we would have wanted to come on today. We would have gotten probably on the phone from wherever we might have been and said, hey, I want to weigh in. This is a big story. I don't want to just miss this Monday, right? And I imagine we didn't even talk about this off the air, but one of our pledges would be when really big stories happen, we're going to try to be there for you, even if we happen to be on vacation. Biden is, they can't reach him. You've got Jen Psaki can't be reached. Who knows what they got Kamala Harris doing right now? It's not only the disaster that you're seeing happen on television. It's that there isn't even any acknowledgement or discussion of it from the Biden White House that is in
right.
any way remotely defensible.
Because first and foremost, the optics are what they're most concerned about, because the prospect of losing domestic political power is what keeps
Which
Democrats.
Is real.
That keeps Democrats up at night. It's not really what's happening in Afghanistan. And I'm just going to say this. I mean, there already have been reports. The Taliban are putting out some of these videos. By the way, you know, the Taliban has a Twitter account. Twitter account
allowed.
For the Taliban.
Yes.
They're, so they can, you know, make women dress up like beekeepers, and they can do all these things that they do and go, you know, atrocities and beheadings and all that stuff. They get to keep their Twitter account. Donald Trump, however, does not. I'm just think
it's
that
a
that is
tremendous
worth,
failure.
That is worth
and same
pointing
thing
out.
Happens with but, Iran and all yeah, these other countries it, that it, are it, basically destroying human rights.
It's going to get ugly, folks, uglier than what you're already seeing. So be prepared for that. And the Biden administration right now is going to try to set a narrative where this was, here's the fundamental lie. And I want us all to be very clear about this. The narrative, Clay, will be this had to happen.
It
this
was impossible
way.
To avoid.
It was impossible to avoid this circumstance. And I just want you to know that is not true. And in fact, they promised you a month ago that it is not true. So this will be thermonuclear level gaslighting. Be prepared for that to happen.
Not only did they say a month ago, 5.5 weeks ago to be exact, that this wasn't going to happen, they said it was impossible to happen.
Or highly unlikely, I think,
and now,
was the Biden word.
And now they are going to bring it back and try to claim, I think to your point, that it was all inevitable, even though 5.5 weeks ago, some quotes, Joe Biden, it was, the Taliban takeover was, quote, not inevitable. Also, they're going to try to avoid the Saigon on steroids reality because they're trying to claim this isn't 1975 and this isn't Vietnam all over again, even though I think anyone with a functional brain says that it is.
The South Vietnamese actually did continue on the fight against a heavily communist regime, heavily outside backed communist regime in the north. There was no continuing the fight here, Clay.
Yeah,
this fight was over.
Their arms
they're just like, we're done. So in a sense, you could argue this is even
our $1 trillion, to say nothing, Buck, of all of the injuries and deaths from all the veterans that we're hearing from. I'm not sure $1 trillion has ever been spent with less to show for it than what we're seeing right now in Afghanistan.
From a policy level, about as ignominious an end as our friend Sean Parnell says, the suits, not the boots, deserve the blame here. We'll bring in our friend Matt Walsh from the Daily Wire in just a couple of minutes, talking about the Obama sophisticated super spreader event in Martha's Vineyard and Fauci saying we all need shots and school board fights. Clay
insanity.
And
we're fired.
The mask
up.
Insurrection in Nashville. We're talking about it.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.